Okay, it's really great to be here with you. And the many years of fellowship that we have had with this chapel go back ages ago with some of the brethren here that have helped us a lot in the work in New York City. As you can tell, my voice is leaving me a little bit. But you know, if I was rooting for the Yankees, I'd be yelling anyway. So, you know, for the Lord, you got to do your best. And I praise the Lord for you also taking care of my kids, Kathy and Natalie. Natalie is in Pennsylvania, and she misses you guys, but she's doing well in the new chapel and there in McKinsburg. So thank you a lot. It's always good to have people helping families. I remember when Stephen went to Mass, I was glad when some men of God were around him and helped him and focused him and encouraged him and told him word of God. This is very important. A word said in a nice word said to a brother or sister or a young person, people remember. Remember good things. And you remember bad things also. When somebody says something against you that rubs you the wrong way, you also remember that. But there is forgiveness, isn't there? The good things and the bad things. And you remember the good things when people tell you good things. So I do thank you. When we think of a spring, we see the faithfulness of God, don't we? A new season coming around. You haven't decided yet whether it's going to come or not, but God is working on it. And I was telling my brothers, you know, I'm getting sick. You said go out with a shirt, and then at night you're freezing to death. So you just have to be careful. But you see the faithfulness of God. Great is the Lord's faithfulness, right? Whether spring or summer, whether the fall or winter, God is faithful. He never fails us. And in every stage of life, God is faithful. God is there. Think of Isaiah chapter 40, where he speaks that when you're a young person, you know, you feel you could fly. And some kids do fly. Trampoline and they break the legs, but you know, you feel you can fly, and then you're able to run, and then you're down to walking. And the Lord is in each stage of life, and He gives power to those who are weak, He gives strength to. So, this morning I was given the assignment of the greatest, and that is the book of John chapter 3. If you can't hear me, raise your hand, okay? So we could do something else. We have down preach. But we'll work on this. John chapter 3. And this is a great chapter because it speaks about being born again. Being brought into the family of God. Being changed for time and for eternity. This is what it's all about. Being changed by God. Because we're all born in the wrong side of the track. All of us. And God has to bring us over to the right side. And the only right side is with Jesus Christ. So if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you can say, we were singing this morning, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? I was. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? I was. Were you there when they buried him? I was, and so were you if you're a Christian. Were you there when he rose from the dead? We all were. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, right? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Okay, we're crucified, our sins were nailed to the cross. Our old nature that so dominates us, that captivates us, that enslaves us, that was crucified with the Lord. And God has given us a new life. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. And the only reason you're here this morning, and I'm here this morning, is because we're saved by the grace of God. And if you're not saved yet, it's because God is dealing with you. God is speaking to you. He's bringing you over and over and over and over again. And we hope, we pray, that you will just say, Lord, I give up. I can't save myself. But you can. Here I am. Save me. What a wonderful thing if you're able to say that. I heard a very disturbing news or an advertisement by an atheist. I don't know if you heard it on the radio. But he's advertising, talking to atheists all over the country to get together to fight against religion in the school, keep religion out of the government. And then he signs off by saying, and this is, gives his name, who is not afraid of going to hell. He has no clue what's going to happen. Pray for that man. I don't know his name, but pray for him that God will save his soul. This is very important. This is the greatest need in the world, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't he wonderful? Anywhere he went, he caused things to happen. Anybody he touched, he blessed. Anybody he touched him, he blessed. It's wonderful. And you and I can walk like Christ walked. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, look, you're going to do more than I can do. In some way, because Jesus was just one man. He left 12 disciples. One was, you know, a traitor. And out of 12 disciples and one extra one that was added there when they chose Matthias, I believe it was. And then Paul came. Just a small band of men. But God chose those men, and the gospel was given over, started in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Just a small band of men. No TV, no iPhones, no radios, no television. Communication had to be done one-on-one. But you know what happened? What happened was that they were persecuted. And when they were persecuted, the Bible says in the book of Acts, that they went out, and as the Christians went out, what did they do? They spoke about Christ. And that's something that we have to do. Do you know you have beautiful feet? How many people here think you have beautiful feet? Okay. Well, you do. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. If you go and speak to somebody about Christ and tell them about the love of God, no matter where you're at, those feet are beautiful. You're taking the gospel to those people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, you try to fix your feet with some polish and nail polish and all those things, and you, some people go get them done in the salon and all that. But, you know, take your feet. Let me take my feet and go to work. No, you're making money for yourself, your family, and the people around you and the church, but you are a testimony to the grace of God. And people need to see Christ. And Paul said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. So this matter of salvation, this matter of preaching the gospel, it is so important because the world, more than anything else, needs the Prince of Peace. Right? The world is in turmoil. But don't worry, the Lord is in control. Everything that's happening, he's in control. And the end has to come. The tribulation period has to come. And the tribulation times, when great tribulation comes, is a time, we believe, 7 years of great tribulation. That's when God is going to bring judgment upon all those who refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, the door is open to everybody. Come, just as you are. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the day is coming when God's judgment is going to come upon this world. Right now in this world, people are in love with the shame. You know, shameful things that are going on today are things that people are most proud of. I could basically say or tell who's going to win the Academy Awards, who's going to win the Music Awards. You know who's going to do it. Anybody who's going the wrong way, anybody who's against God, anybody who's against righteousness, anybody who's really out there showing himself to be what is the opposite of the things of God, they usually get nominated, and let them get a little trophy. And sometimes they have these movies, which you know is a piece of junk, but they get nominated and they get the award. Because people without the Lord are against the things of God. And we can't expect them to get any better. But they'll get better when we bring the gospel to them. So how beautiful are your feet? How beautiful are my feet? And you have to go far. What about your neighbor? What about my neighbor? In your apartment, in your house, in our jobs. You know, people don't read the Bible. Most people want to grab the Bible in their hands. They won't come to the chapel. But people are reading us. They're reading us. And what is the gospel according to you? And what is the gospel according to me? And the gospel according to us should be the love of God. Paul would say that he was a slave, a servant to everyone. He became all things to all men that he might win some. And God has allowed us to run into people or be around people that only you can reach. Only you can touch. Because they're looking at your life, looking at my life. Anyway, the Gospel of John chapter 3, he's got a wonderful story of Nicodemus. We know this story. We memorize the verses. For sometimes, you know, we like some of these really tremendous teams that want to be these guys. Don't even practice for this team. You're so confident that you win, and what happens? You end up losing because you didn't prepare. That was the same thing with the Israelites. They had a big victory in Jericho. They tore down that wall. They didn't build it. They tore down the wall. And basically, the next one was just a little time, Ai. Even the spelling was so short. Hey, come on, how could they do anything to us? And they got defeated badly because they didn't plan. And that's what it is, sometimes it is with the gospel. We think, well, we know the gospel, the ABCs of the gospel. But the gospel goes so deep. It's so great because in the gospel you see the heart of God. In the gospel you see the plan of God. This is something that was planned even before we were born. Even before the world was created. God had this plan. And that plan included you and me. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even before you were born. By the grace of God, you're born in this wonderful country. I was born in Puerto Rico, which is a great island. But we came here when I was 11. And I praise God that I was born in a Christian home. My grandparents were Christians. My parents were Christians. And then other people around us. And we came to this wonderful country. God had that plan. Where were we born in Syria at this time? Or in Haiti? Or in other places? It's God's doing. But you know, the gospel goes out to everyone. Because the Bible speaks. Or God speaks at all times. This is very important to realize. He speaks through his creation. God speaks through his people. Israel has spoken. God has spoken through the word of God, the Bible. God has spoken through the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the final word to the world. And God speaks through us to the world. So the gospel goes out by his grace. Now, in John chapter 3, we have a term that is used often, and we'll read about it. There was a man, John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things, these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that's a direct statement of Jesus Christ to a man who apparently, because of his religious upbringing, because of his education, because of his standing in that society. A Pharisee was a very important person in the Jewish religion. They had control of many, many things. People are really afraid of them because they have power, even power to throw you out of the synagogue. That's the experience we have in chapter 9 of the book of John, where a man was born blind, the Lord Jesus healed him. The Pharisees and the scribes, they wanted to know, who healed you? And he said, well, I don't know, it's just somebody named Jesus. Well, how did he heal you? He told him, well, this is what he did. He put some mud in my eyes, went to the door clean, I came by seeing. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. So they said, well, call your mom and dad. And they called him, there's a grown man already, and he said, yeah, this is my son. But how he came to see, we have no idea. And they were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue or out of the temple because of their being connected with Jesus somehow. And they said, ask him, he knows, he'll tell you. So they had great power. And finally, this man who had been healed by the power of Jesus Christ, he was able to see Jesus again. And you know, Jesus spoke to him very directly. He wanted to know who the Christ was, and Jesus told him, I am he. Just a couple of people Jesus very directly to. He spoke to the Samaritan woman also, and he told him, I am the Messiah. He told this blind man, I am the Messiah. These were humble people. People who come to the Lord had to humble themselves before a holy God. When you humble yourself, when you realize who you are outside of God, when you realize your sin, then God is able to work with you. Before that, he can't do it. And I think this is what God was telling Nicodemus. Jesus Christ spoke to him because Jesus Christ could read right through him. He knew all about the different Pharisees. The Pharisees are very religious people. They were very legalistic. They followed the rule. They kept the law. And they added to the law. They had all kinds of different rules and regulations. Heard a teacher saying that they wouldn't even look at a mirror, because if you were beginning to get gray and you saw a gray hair, if you plucked it out, that was working in the Sabbath. You couldn't even do that. So they were so rigorous in their religion, and they had all these rules and regulations. Everybody had to keep them. Most religions are like that, all kinds of rules and regulations. I have a brother who spoke in a Muslim country, and they have Ramadan where you fast a whole month. They say in most countries, like, they have that rule, they eat more food that whole month than any other month of the year. Why is that? Because they fast all day, but at night they gorge themselves. I mean, they just get the best meat, the best stuff, and I'm fasting all day for Allah, but at night they just gorge themselves. Religion is like that. Religions, they make you wear funny things, do funny things. And to most religious people, it's very simple to become a child of God, because they don't deal with the sin problem. You do these five things and you'll be accepted. Salvation is not what you do, it's what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. That's what saves you. He's the one that saves you. Jesus was the one that said, it is finished. He had a job to do. He had a work to accomplish. He had a sacrifice to give to the Father. He had to pay for the sins of the whole world. And he didn't stop until he finished. And after those 3 hours of total darkness and the Father punishing the Son for our sins, he looked back and says, it is finished. Praise the Lord. Isn't it nice when you finish something? I've been working on my office for the last 50 years, and it's worse than it was before. Sorry, I could be a witness to that. When will I finish? A couple of sisters have said, look, let me go into your office, we'll clear it out. No, you can't do that. I got some old things there, myself included. So it's good when you finish, right? When you finish your high school, you get your diploma. When you finish, you think, I'm not going to make it. Take that final test, comprehensive test. What am I going to pass? And you pass. Greg got his master's degree. I was so proud he got his master's degree. I think he wants to go for a doctorship. But you finish that, right? It's wonderful. Well, Jesus had a big job. I mean, this was the job of all jobs. He came out to do work for the Father, because the Father loved you and me. But the Father is a holy God, a holy Father. God is holy, and he cannot tolerate sin in any way, shape, or form. So you have to, when you look at what the gospel is all about, it doesn't begin with man, it begins with God. John 3:16. Let's all quote it. Ready? John 3:16. For God, praise the Lord. That's right in this chapter. God so loved. It begins with God. In the beginning, what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heaven, and it was God created. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. You begin with God, and you end with God. Beginning and end. God never changes. He's always there. There's not a shadow of turning with him. It's funny, because we went to a young people's conference in the Bronx, the South Bronx, and to find a parking space in New York is worse than finding a parking space here when it snows. So, I mean, it's really bad. So I had to park all over the place, and I was walking down the street. I'm walking by myself. I had my briefcase on, and I got scared. What did I see? My shadow. I thought I'd be mugged because of the lighting system. I look, wait, that's me. But you know, with God, there's not a shadow turning. He's always there. There's not a doubt with God's plan of salvation. I know, Paul said, whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I know. Do you know? If you were to die today, if God were to call you, are you ready to meet the Lord? You can't be ready if you do what the Lord told Nicodemus to do. What did he tell him to do? He didn't tell him too much. He told him, you must be born again. He didn't tell him how to do it. He didn't tell him 5 points and you do this and this and that. No, he didn't. He just explained to him, okay, who he was and who Jesus is. Because this is an important thing. Now, Nicodemus had all the cards together. He had it all going. He had 4 aces. I don't know how to play cards, but 4 aces is pretty good, right? He had a full deck. He had it going, and the Lord had to burst his bubble. Nicodemus, you got all this, all those credentials, but you must be born again. This is a message of the Lord. And then it says to enter the kingdom of what? Of God. The kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is where God rules, where God is in control totally. When God has done away with sin, there's a place where we're going to go to. Now look at a couple of verses real quickly. Exodus 15:18, just to touch upon this kingdom and God's sovereign reign. This is important because once we get to heaven, there is the eternal city, but also the thousand-year reign is an actual place. We're going to be in earth reigning with Christ, all of us. And it's going to be a great time when there is no sickness, no sorrow, no wild beast. The snake will be docile. The child will, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, that a child is going to be a pastor, and the lion and the lamb will dwell together. I mean, it's going to be a great time. Now you walk out of your house, you don't know if you're going to make it back or not. Right? Every time we go out, something's going to happen. The traffic is horrendous. Everybody's in a rush. To where? And we get into verse 2. I have to learn what the Bible says. If they ask you for your coat, give it to them and give them next one. So if you're asking for that lane, please, don't go after them. So we have to be practical in our Christian living. But in Exodus chapter 15 and 18, here's what the Bible says. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. We could be sure of that. You could go to the bank on that. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. No matter how many things are going around us, the Lord shall reign. Look at another verse real quickly. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Speaking about the kingdom of God and about the Lord being in control. Psalms 103. It's a wonderful psalm. I love this psalm because it speaks to us so. In verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. The Lord has established, okay, what does it say? His throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Okay, some people want to go to Mars, want to see if they could live out there. I don't know why they want to go to Mars. There's nothing there. God created the stars for us to look at, to enjoy, and we do enjoy them, okay? They want to hear from heaven. We already heard from heaven. God himself came down. He visited and spoken in the Old and the New Testament, and he's speaking today. God is here. You and I are the ministers of God. What a wonderful job we have. There's a treasure in you, and that treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be revealed to the world. Christ in you is the glory. Everything else will vanish away. You know, some people put their money in Social Security, others put it in the bank account, others put it in the house, others put it in this and that. But you know, those things might waste away, might wash away. We're so rich in this country, praise the Lord. What if all those things are taken away? The food and the transportation and the jobs. What's left? God is in control and he will supply our needs. So the Bible says very clearly, the Lord has established his throne to heaven, in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. God is ruling in heaven. And we know the God of this age is kind of in control in many ways here on this earth. When Jesus was tempted, the devil said, fall down and worship me. And I'll give you all the riches. He showed him all the riches of the world in a moment of time. And Jesus didn't fall for that. He said, you shall worship the Lord your God only, and him only shall you serve. You can't worship anything else. The devil offers so many people in this world, so many things. And a few of them get it. Once they get it, many of them don't appreciate it. They want more and more and more and more. You know, you become the champion of, let's say, you know, the NCAA, the team that won. You know, they probably forgot. Next year you come, who won last year? Who won the World Series? I don't even remember. Those things just pass away. The Bible speaks about the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what Moses said. He was offered the kingdom of Egypt, all the pleasures, all the luxury, all, you know, the clout that he had. A king or a son of the queen, or a son of the king, stepfather, the king, and he just let it all go because those things pass away quickly. You have to, and I have to, look at what's his eternal kingdom. Just one more verse about Daniel. Daniel speaks a lot to us about what's going to happen in the future, who's going to be in control. And in the book of Daniel, in chapter 2, verse 44, we see what's going to happen eventually, and the Lord is going to be in control. Daniel 2, verse 44, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Okay, so verse 5, inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain with our hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain. An interpretation is sure. So yes, this is tremendous. You know, God showed Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, and all these different kingdoms. You got some powerful kingdoms. They say that America is the most powerful country in the world. And I believe we are. But we're going to lose all our power if our moral stature is left to one side and we follow the things of the devil. This is very important. They took the Bible out of the schools. They took prayer out of the schools. They took anything that had to do with God out of the school. You can't say anything. Can you imagine a country that was founded on the Word of God? Most of the signers of the Constitution were ministers of God. Most of them, some of them were in Princeton when Princeton was preaching the gospel, and Yale, and Harvard. These were schools that were founded on the Word of God. And in America, the primer to learn how to read and write was the Word of God, the Bible. And take it away, and what do you have left? Look what's going on in our country, right? It's interesting that you cannot take a Bible into schools and read it, but the only book you could take in jail to go, when you get sentenced upstate, is the Word of God. That's the only book. They don't allow anything else to come in. Because they realize, but kind of late in some of these guys, the Word of God is so here we know that the Lord is going to rule over. Look at chapter 7, verse 14. 7:14 of Daniel. Daniel 7:14. It says this. Well, let's start in verse 13. And I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. That's Daniel 7:13. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he came to the Ancient of Days, and he brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. You want to be sure of where you're going, you have to have your feet planted on the rock of ages, which is Jesus Christ. Your insurance policy for out of this world is the only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other person. Peter said that in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other. So the assurance we have of leaving this earth and being with God eternally is placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is a place where God will reign. It's going to be a wonderful time where righteousness will reign, where righteousness will be like the sea that covers, the water that covers the sea. That's the way it's going to be when God is in control. We have a time of that millennium, where the devil is put away. Okay, the demons are locked up. All the people that didn't believe in Christ were judged in the great tribulation. Only those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and endured to the end of that tribulation enter the earth to reign with the Lord. It's going to be a wonderful time. You and I, as being the bride of Christ, we're going to be there. We'll be there with the Lord. And we'll have things to do. But he will be reigning. And it's wonderful when the Lord reigns. And you could see that in the life of an individual. Isn't it wonderful to sit at the Lord's Supper every Sunday and just look at Jesus Christ? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, when people leave things and people die, you want to do the last will and testament. You want to do what they wanted you to do. Bury me this way, do this way, and they do everything before they die. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ only has one thing of you and me. And he did that with great desire. The night when he was betrayed with desire. I have desired to do this with you. I want you to come. Remember me. God, is it too much to ask to come to the Lord's Supper on time early? And thank the Lord. Examine your heart. Examine my heart. We have to come and say, do this in remembrance of me. That's what I want you to do. Because when you do that and you remember the Lord, you're set on the right track. You're going the right direction. But if we leave Jesus Christ on the side and just use him as a cane, or just use him when I need him, no. Do this in remembrance of me. Take the bread. Take the cup. Think of me. And that can carry all the work. So this is wonderful to know. The Lord is going to reign forever and ever. Now, Nicodemus got that message from the Lord. And the message was very clear. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And being born again has to do with God doing the work in your life. You didn't do it yourself. The church doesn't do it. You go works and do it. Your thing doesn't do it. God himself comes into your life, and God impacts eternal life. Now, just a couple of verses to show you how this works out, which is things that are so clear in the Bible. We know it's good to read them. It's good to go over them because it's so important. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, which gives you an idea of what it is to be born again, born from above. It is an act of God. Nicodemus had to realize, I got all this gone from me, but I'm empty. That's why he came to the Lord. He probably came to the Lord at night because he wanted to spend time with the Lord. He needed a few hours to spend with the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ told him, look, you must be born again. Let's not beat around the bush. You must be born. You want to say that to people. You know, it's hard to do, but by the grace of God, let's pray that God will lead us to that position. But look at what it says in the book of 1 Peter, and some beautiful verses that deal with that. First, chapter 1, look at verse 23. Having been born again, 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is wonderful. What's going to last forever is the word of God. Hide it in your heart. We should all hide it in our hearts. Look at the book of James. James chapter 1. Look at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Okay? What is it there? Of his own will. God wants you to be saved. God wants to impart to you life, eternal life. God has a place for you in heaven. God has your name there. What you could do, realize your condition. Be like Nicodemus. Lord, what must I do? Jesus says, you must be born again. And he has to turn to the Lord for that. So this is a beautiful passage. Look at Titus. Titus, real quickly, to finish with Titus. And Titus speaks to our condition. Let me see if I find it. Verse 11, for the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared to all men. Titus 2:11. Okay? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, that no one despise you. So here, wonderful thing. You know, salvation, being born again, has to do with a lot of beautiful words. It has to do with justification, sanctification, glorification. He has those beautiful big words. They all come together at one point. And when you receive the Lord, when you believe His message, when you humble yourself before God and say, Lord, I can't do it, save me. All those things happen at once. You don't realize how rich you are, but you begin the walk with God. This is very important. Look at chapter 2 or chapter 3 of Titus. And verse 3. This is what we were before we came to the Lord. For we, as Titus 3:2. Titus 3:3, Spanish. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, to the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, these are powerful verses that God has given to us. So this is a work of God. God imparts. You are renewed. Regeneration has to do with that, starting new. And in the Bible, it has many places where it speaks about this regeneration. It even speaks in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, about the regeneration of this world. There's going to come a time when God is going to reverse the curse. It tells us that in chapter 8, that God, the whole world is waiting. The whole world seems to be waiting for something, for somebody, something to happen in the world, the environment, the people, the poor, the rich, what's going on in the world all around us is waiting, waiting. Nobody has the answer because they're all turning from God. But once they turn to the Lord, God has the answer. And you know, this starts with us. God's kingdom starts with us, with you and with me. God has already done that in our lives. And when the Lord reigns in our lives, He's king in our lives, then you and I will be able to do a work for God in our home, in our work, in our chapel, wherever we are. That work of righteousness, the work of being born again, regeneration, justification, sanctification, all those wonderful things that God does, it happens in a moment. And then you begin to grow. Just like when a child is born. You know, when a child is born, that child had nothing to do with being born. It just happened, right? Mom and dad got together. God supplies the needs, and the child grows. He had no choice in that. In regeneration, being born again is the same work. The part you have in being born into the family of God is to realize, I'm lost. I trust in You, Lord. You've done it all. Is anybody here who's still struggling with that fact, where you don't know whether you're born again or not? Well, maybe God has been speaking to you, not only today, but through all your life. And there has to come a time in your life when you say, you know, I am lost. Lord, save me. He'll do it. He'll do it in your life. He'll impart eternal life. He'll give you the Holy Spirit of God. He'll open your eyes, and you'll see the light. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just like God, when He said, let there be light, that's what God does today. He imparts light into your life, and you'll be able to see. It's wonderful to have light, isn't it? Today, it's great to walk in the light and in the darkness. Let's close in prayer. And if you're here this morning, without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one thing I could tell you. You must be born again. Maybe you need a job. Maybe you need some counseling in an area of your life. Maybe you just need some help in something physical or even spiritual. But the most important thing that you need is to be born again. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus showed that he didn't fall because he took a stand for Jesus. And then when Jesus was crucified and buried, Nicodemus was there. And he gave a lot of money to involve Jesus. And he fulfilled prophecy. Book of Isaiah says he was going to be amongst thieves, dying, but he was going to be buried like a rich man. And Nicodemus gave thousands of dollars. He was saved by the grace of God. I believe we're going to see him in heaven. But he realized, I can't do it, but he does it for me. See, if you've never done that before, why don't you ask the Lord just now, that, Lord, I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. I believe in you, I accept you. Father, we pray that you will help those that are here without Christ, that they will, Lord, turn to you. Just like Nicodemus came seeking the Lord, God, we pray that someone here without Christ will come to the Lord. Lord, for us who are Christians, Lord, you don't want us just to be professors of the faith. You want us to be doers of the word. You want us, Lord, to walk with you. And we pray, God, that you would challenge us, that we might give more time to you, more time to your word. Lord, more time to spread the good news of salvation. Bless us, Lord. Bless this chapel. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, in keeping Kenworth Gospel Chapel open for so many years. We pray, God, that you will revive us, all of us, that it might start with each one of us, by just getting closer to you. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.